Bless the name of Jesus. I want to do something really quickly. I want to, of course, give you, Apostle Pierce, an opportunity just to say something and greet the people. This is your house, so I just, you know, want to give you. Dr. Butler, would you? Oh, okay, amen. Hallelujah. The presence of the Lord is already here. I said he's already here. He's already here. He's already here. And we're going to partner with what he's doing tonight. Can you take your Bibles with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 58? The book of Isaiah chapter 58. I want us to start at verse number 12. We're going to start at verse number 12. Actually, let's move up to verse number 9. I want us to have a good foundation tonight, amen? Isaiah chapter 58, verse number 9. And it reads, "Then thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am." I'm so glad the Bible deals with absolutes, and it deals with what the Lord will do and what he will say. And there's no maybes in our God. It says, "You'll call him, and he shall answer. You will cry, and he will say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfieth the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity. And thy darkness shall be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy your soul in drought and make fat your bones. And you will say, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water who waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places." One version calls it the ancient ruins. "Thou shalt rise or raise up the foundations of many generations. And you will be called the repairer of," say that again, "the repairer. And the restorer of paths to dwell in." God, we bless you tonight. Lord, we say, speak to us that we may hear. Enliven our understanding that we may receive your wisdom. And Lord, let me decrease, that you increase. Take these clay lips and hide them behind the cleft of the rock. And move mightily among us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to thank God again for all of you. I want to also thank God for the covering that we have, Apostle Randall Furlow and Pastor Autumn Furlow. They pray for you and for the Alliance daily, along with the Ecclesial Global Fellowship. They're always calling our names out in prayer, always sending resources. They ensure that we have everything we need when it comes to the crusade. So I want to thank God for them. I'm a history lover. I love all things history. Whatever is history related, I love it. I think that's why I'm such a lover of the Word of God. I think you can find just about any topic in the Word of God. You can find math if you like that wretched subject. You can find science if you like that one. You can find language arts if you the wretched subject part was a joke. I don't like math. So if you like math, you know, you can find it in it. And I can say that because I took pre-calculus and all of that, and Lord help me. I don't know how I survived, but His grace. But whatever subject you may like or whatever subject you may be drawn to, you can find it in the Word of God. And so for me, it's history. I think all of us can say that in these days especially, we see more of the Bible coming to pass than ever. It's wonderful because our Bible is not just a topic of history as some other religions are, but our Bible really does foretell the future. It prophesies what is to come. And when the Word of God speaks, it speaks on multiple levels. It talks about waves in Revelations. And we didn't know we would one day have sound waves. And we didn't know there would one day be satellite waves. But the Word of God predicts all of this and talks about things that were not even in the mind of the writers during that day. So I think we all can say that it was divinely inspired. It went beyond man's understanding, and it was written by the finger of God through them. I want you to understand that no matter what you're going through, where no matter where you may find your life, no matter what you may think may be going on that is carnal in your life, the finger of God is just writing through you. The finger of God is just moving through you. I know it may hurt. I know it may make you tired. I know I get tired of going through the same thing after the same thing after the same thing, but your experience is being used by the finger of God to write a story. Your experience is being used by God to write a tale that cannot be made up. And your experience is being used by God to build a testimony that will be the reason that somebody else came over. They'll be able to say, I came over because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the testimony. And so I'm a lover of history. A lot of what I look at on television, because I do watch it sometimes when I have time from work and ministry, you know, a lot of what I watch is steeped in history somehow, or it is historical fiction. One of the shows that I'm watching now is called Fallout. It's brand new. It's on Amazon Prime. I'm going to watch it when I get home Sunday night before I have to go to work Monday. But it's called Fallout. It's set during the time period of the Cold War. The idea is that nuclear destruction has happened, and there are several groups of humanity that survived or that existed. The first are those who were part of a program based in the nuclear disaster called the Fallout Shelter, or it was called the Vault, the Vault. And then you had the other part. They were land dwellers who had found refuge during the disaster somehow. In the beginning of this particular show, in the first scene talks about a group identified as Vault 33. I'm telling you, I watched it like I really paid attention. Vault 33. And it was supposed, they were supposed to meet with another group. I want to say they were Vault 34. And they were to, or I'll say it like this, they were unaware that there was a breach in the other group's vault. While they were in the security of their vault, their neighbors had a breach in their vault. And the entire group had been killed and overtaken by outsiders. I'm going to get there. So Vault 33 innocently and naively let them intermingle with their group. And when they least expected it, the outsiders pounced. The scripture says it like this: while we slept, the enemy crept in. In our day and in our time, the Lord has reserved for Himself a people called the church, founded by the blood of Jesus over 2,000 years ago through the shedding of His blood. The goal was for us to change the world with the message of the cross. But here we are over 2,000 years later, and somehow, somewhere, there has been a breach. And the breach has caused great compromise in the body of Christ. great compromise in how we worship, compromise in how we pray, compromise in how we live, compromise in what we believe, to the point where most people don't even believe in this anymore. I'm talking about people that call themselves preachers and pastors that don't even believe that Revelations is real, and don't even believe that Jesus is going to return, and don't even believe that there will be a rapture. People that don't even believe that God literally created the heavens and earth with one word from his mouth. People that do not believe that Jesus really rose from the dead, but they call themselves preachers and pastors and apostles and bishops and evangelists and all these fancy titles, and they carry a holy Bible, but they've never read it, and they don't believe it. In fact, in our day, daily Bible reading isn't even a thing anymore. By the time we tell you to open your Bibles when we come to church, we can see the dust cloud fill the sanctuary, because it collected dust on the bookshelf at home. If it made it to the bookshelf, it might have been on your floor, in your trunk, or somewhere on a shoe rack. Maybe the thing that you use as a shoe rack. But there's been compromise. The early church were students of the letters of the apostles. You could not find a Jewish male that did not know the entire Pentateuch from front to cover. You could not find a Jew that did not know the letters of Moses or the letters of any of the early prophets. You could not find one of them that didn't know the Midrash. You could not find one of them that did not know about their God. So much so to the point where they had learned things that aren't even recorded in our Bible, because it was common knowledge for them. So when Jesus comes on the scene talking about angels and the devil and all of that, it's not new to them. It's not foreign to them, because it was a part of their everyday. The glory of the Lord is already here. The cloud is already here. I feel it. It was a part of their everyday culture. In fact, angels were so ingrained in the 21st century church services that Paul had to say, I want you to be careful how you act, because there are angels in your midst. It was so common for angels to worship with the first century church that Paul had to say, I want you to be careful what you say and how you treat people, because you might be entertaining angels and you don't know it. But now in the 21st century church, we say whatever, we act however we want, we do whatever we want. I don't care that you my pastor, I'm going to still show my behind in church. I don't care, it's the house of God, I'm going to come in here and treat it like my house. God forbid. Sin has become ingrained into our DNA to the point where if you preach against my sin, I ain't coming back to your church. If you preach against my sin, I'm gonna protest you. I'm gonna call you out on Facebook, and I'm gonna make sure I shut your church down. If you speak against my lifestyle, I ain't never supporting you again. Somehow, in some way, we're supposed to bend down to culture when our God called us to create culture. The Lord called us to maturity. He said, I want you to be perfect like I am perfect. That word perfect there means maturity. And I know we're all going to stumble and we're all going to fall. But no matter how many times you fall and bump your head, don't you ever stop striving. Don't you ever stop pushing. Don't you ever start letting somebody tell you it's okay to live like that. I'm telling you, there is a blasphemy that has entered the house of God. That blasphemy has come in as the word balance. You know, I gotta have a little balance. You know, God wants me to have a little fun. He wants me to be able to party sometimes. Even God laughs. Even God jokes. Even God thinks it's funny. You know, I can drink sometimes. You know, ain't nothing wrong with a little slip here and a little sip there. Ain't nothing wrong with a little wine cooler. Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with it until you start messing up because the Spirit's got in you. Ain't nothing wrong with it until your lifestyle somehow causes you to backslide and backstep, because there's a little alcoholic in all of us that's waiting for us to mess up. It's waiting for us to sin. There's a little whoremonger in all of us that's waiting for us to just take our eyes. I don't live like this because I want to. I live like this because I need to stay close to Jesus. If I ever take my eyes off him, I'll be most miserable. I don't live like this because somebody's holding a gun to my head. I live like this because I love Jesus too much to give up any part of him. Yes, we all sin. Yes, we all fall short of the glory of God. But the day that we stop striving is the day we yield to compromise. But God is raising up a people who he will endow with, number one, ancient power reserved for the last day. Ancient power reserved for the last day. He's endowing with us with an apostolic mandate to take back the integrity of the church. And he's also endowing us with the power to release perpetual power that will cause the church to live in another level of effectiveness. We know this as revival. And they are those who he will use to repair the breach. There are over, I want to say, they say 1,000 churches every year in America alone that are closing their doors. We can't build enough churches because there are so many closing before others can even open their doors. There are more pastors that are living such compromising lives to the point where they don't even want to preach. It's already hard enough for those of us that want to preach the gospel to stay in the pulpit. But could you imagine how hard it is for those who don't even believe in it? We have over 1 million people leaving the church every year. There is a back door to the church that's been left open. Because while we slept, the enemy created a breach. While we were trying to find relevance, the enemy created a breach. While we were trying to find some social cause or social cause to be behind, the enemy created a breach. While we were trying to find ourselves outside of the Word of God, the enemy created a breach. But God's called people like the Enhanced Crusade Alliance to repair the breach. To be those that he can use in this last day and in this last age to steward a latter glory. A glory that the world has never seen before. I'm talking about a glory that we live in. So when the sick come around us, we don't just do like Peter and they be healed by our shadow, but they be healed just because of the opening of our mouths. This is why our organization was born. Oh, we all know this scripture. We all know the scripture of Isaiah chapter 58 because it's one of the most foundational scriptures that we have in Christianity that supports spiritual discipline. We know it as a scripture that gives justification and definition to the spiritual discipline known as fasting. If you read a few verses up, it talks about, is this not the fast that I've called? You know, is this not the thing that will break the bonds? And it talks about all of those amazing things. But then we come down a little bit further and it deals with something that seems like a little bit of a change of tempo. I would argue that it is not just dealing with fasting itself, but the spiritual life of believers. God is releasing the prophet Isaiah to deal with the inconsistency of Israel. Just like in this day, he's releasing this word to deal with the inconsistency in the body of Christ. The inconsistency in believers. You know, I'm telling you, we're so inconsistent now that there's not even a universal thing we believe anymore. There was a day and there was a time where even though we all weren't in one geographical location, we all still believed the same thing. We all still believed the same Jesus. We all still believed in the same blood. There was a day where the Church of Jesus Christ was united. But when flesh became glorified, we all start getting ambitious and wanting our names to be heard and wanting to be ahead of the crowd and wanting to make the decisions and wanting you to give to our pockets. And, well, why can't I do this? And, well, why can't I do that? And I got in front of Jesus and I became more important than Jesus. Whenever I becomes more important than us, you're waiting for an organization to fall. In the Marine Corps, they teach us in boot camp to speak in the third person because they want to teach us how to get rid of I. Because if I is alive in the organization, it will kill the organization. And so what God's trying to do in this day and hour is kill the I that he may live. To kill the small I so that he can be the I am that I am. He's trying to kill our flesh so that his spirit can live. And so that his spirit can be dominant in his house again. I never thought we would see the day where Jesus was kicked off the throne in his own church. In the Christ or Christian church, Jesus isn't even allowed on the program. Because we got too much to do. We have too many things and places to go. I got too much that I want to say that Jesus can't do what he wants to do. There's so much I, what I want, how I feel, and my church. But the Lord is saying, give me my church back. Give me my people back. Stop being lords over my inheritance. I am a sukoplekai. I am that I am. I am the bright and morning star. I am he that was dead and now lives. I am the whole power. I am the one who went in the grave and rose on the third day. I am the Christ. I'm the Son of the living God. I am the way, the truth, and the light. I. Jesus is saying that to us. Jesus is saying, sit down with your fast selves and let me be king. I don't need gimmicks and I don't need schemes in order to bring folks to my house. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw men. Jesus doesn't need a get rich scheme. He doesn't need you to bring out him some dollars. He doesn't need you to bring something in his house to make it more attractive again. He is the wonder. He is the treasure. He is the stone that the builders rejected. He is all by himself. And if we ever let him be God again, I'm telling you, if we ever let him be God again, if we ever let him be king again, if we ever let him be Lord again, I promise you he will turn this world upside down. Oh, Jesus is saying, I just need some folks that will let me be me. I just need some folks who will no longer live in their truth, but they want my truth. They'll no longer be blinded by what they want, but they'll give in to what I want. We relaxed our standards so low to the point where we don't even have standards no more. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. We relaxed our standards so much to the point where witches can sit in our pulpits now and nobody call them out. I mean, warlocks can worship in the assembly, binding everybody they want to, and don't nobody say nothing. Because I don't want to offend nobody. Because I got a certain lifestyle I like to live, and I don't want y'all to take no money out the collection plate. I'm telling you, there's coming a day where the witch will die if they walk into the house of God. There's coming a day where the fear of God is entering back into the house again. There's coming a day where people will be able to rise and say, don't you talk about God that way. Don't you talk about the man of God that way. Don't you talk about the woman of God that way. There's coming a day where there's coming a day where the answer can only be found in the house of God again. I'm telling you, the White House is about to come knocking at the church's door again. I'm telling you, Congress is about to come knocking at the church's door again. I'm telling you, millionaires are about to come knocking at the church's door again. But will we be ready to give them an uncompromising Jesus? Or will we be afraid to tell them the truth because they got too much money? If we're going to be a people that stand for God, we've got to get ourselves out the way. We've got to let all this flesh be burnt up. The great revivalists of the past understood this. Paul said it like this: I'm crucified with Christ. I died on the cross with him. You won't find me when you come looking for me, because I live in him. And then he says a little bit further down, he says, shall we abide in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. This hyper grace gospel got some of us high on stupid. This hyper grace gospel has some of us high on sin, high on self, high on absolute foolishness. We think we can say whatever we want to and throw Jesus behind it, do whatever we want to and throw Jesus behind it, and God's just going to forgive us because there's grace for that. Honey, that's not what grace is. Grace is favor. Grace is something that gets you into the presence of God. But mercy is what keeps you from being condemned. But I'm telling you, mercy's running out. Because my Bible tells me that one day Jesus is going to crack the sky. My Bible tells me that Jesus will. I'm talking about that Jesus that we say is too nice to send us to hell. That Jesus will judge. Come on up out of this. That Jesus will judge. We're so used to this Jesus that they show us on TV that says, do what you want to me. Say what you want to say to me. Let me tell you something. He's not in this body anymore. He's in the glorified body. That's a whole nother Jesus that some of us have never met. There's a righteous indignation that is in Jesus that will cause for him to come into the temple and flip all the tables over. Jesus is coming to the house to flip all the tables over again. He's coming into the house to set his house in order again. That's why we can't have church as normal. That's why we can't be what we used to be. Because the day is winding up too closely. The older saints say time is running down. It's winding up. Time. One day time will be no more. Eternity will pull back its curtains and invite us all in. The question will be, will you rest with Jesus? Or will you be bound to an eternal lake of fire? I don't know who this is telling us that the lake of fire is not eternal. God's just going to send us there for a little bit, let us burn up a little bit, and then let us in. If that was the case, there would be no need for the blood to be shed. This is an age of apostasy and heresy. And it is time for the body of Christ to wake up and proclaim the truth of the kingdom. Because there are so many souls slipping away every day. Every day. Where has this breach happened? Where has it happened? It happened, number one, in our belief system. When you deal with belief systems, you're dealing with literally a systematic set of beliefs. It is a system of things that you believe that cause for you to be what you are. And so what has happened in our day is that our belief system has been compromised. Somewhere in our beliefs, y'all know how the scripture says that a little bit of leaven leaveneth the whole lump? And it talks, and you know how we were all raised on one bad apple can spoil the whole brunch? That's what happens in belief systems. Whenever you have one belief in error or one thing in error, it'll spoil the rest of your beliefs. That's why in this day, there's no such thing as a universal truth anymore. Now everybody want to talk about their truth and what I feel and how I want it and what I didn't know there could be multiple truths. I didn't know. You know, and that's what it is. It's a lie. There's the truth and then there's a lie. There's no in between. There's either right or wrong. There's no in between. But what we have in our day now is we have people that don't believe that anything's wrong. And so they live how they want to live. And the problem is, that's in the church. I'm telling you, right in the pulpit. Woo, Jesus. Lord, I'm trying not to go there. But I want you to understand, this word that's going out tonight is for an entire organization. And this word that is going out tonight is from this organization, from the lips of God to the world. And so although it may not be here, God is raising this sound out. And it's also establishing what we believe as an alliance so that people understand we love you anyway. Come in here like you are, but do not leave like you are. Come in here like you are, dress like you need to dress, but don't get offended if we throw some sheets over you. Because your dress too short. Don't get offended if we throw some sheets over you because your pants too tight. Don't get offended. Come as you are. But don't leave as you are. Let the Lord change you. I mean, the old church believed that, so people knew not to bring some stuff into the church. But now because we compromise, if you don't say stuff like this, people will think you're just like everybody else. And if you don't talk like this, then our children will walk around with the same issues. The devil is a liar. We've been called to be shepherds and guards over our children and the coming generations. And this is the foundation we have to stand on. It doesn't mean we get it all right, but we got to start somewhere. We got to keep plowing somewhere. I'm not saying that everybody that messes up should just be thrown out, but I am saying that at some point we got to say something. At some point we've got to deal with this stuff. Because you cannot carry all this baggage into heaven. You cannot get people saved with all this baggage. Because the first thing they're going to do is look at your life. They used to tell us, you got to live like Jesus because you may be the only Jesus that people see. You may be the only Jesus with a face that people can meet. But if people looked at us to follow Jesus, what would they see? What would they see? Would they think that God was lackadaisical? Would they think that he was inconsistent because we're inconsistent? Would they think that he gave up too often because we give up every other day? Would they think that he was double-minded because we feel one way today and then one way the other day? Would they think that he was a God that did not keep his word because we never keep ours? What would people think about our Jesus if we were the only one they saw? Let me talk about this part. Morals. In our day, people have none. What are morals? What are those? This is the land of the free. I can do what I want and can't nobody say nothing to me. No, I locked somebody up that said it to me yesterday. I can do what I want to. I can say what I want to, act like I want to. And then when I came to lock them up, they acted like I was wrong. Like I did something wrong because I enforced the law. You can say whatever you want to about your morals. Just because you say you ain't got none don't mean that there aren't any still. There is still right and there is still wrong. But I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is that we as the church, we don't live like this Bible says. And so when people look at us, they just say they're just like everybody else. They act just like everybody else. So why should I be any different? A lot of people really believe in God. They're just angry at him. And we give them an excuse to stay angry because we don't look like him. God convict me. This is about me. This is Jesus coming after my heart. He ain't got to talk to you. He's talking to me. Because there are no morals, people can literally go around killing people and not feel any way about it. We have more sociopaths in our day than we have ever had before. Because because the guards of the city guards, us, the church, the guards of morality, the guards of the soul, we've laid down our arms. We're too busy infighting. We're too busy fighting over who gets the mic next and who gets the title next and who's next in succession and who gets all the members next. And I want to start my foundation. No, I want to start my fellowship. Are you going to be with me or are you going to be with him? Are you going to do this or are you going to do that? We're so busy with a civil war in the body that the devil has already taken the world. There used to be a time where America was protected because of the church. But because the church has laid down her arms, America is backsliding. Whew. I heard a prophet say it like this. America is like the whore that Hosea was married to, dying on the steps of the church. And we got the door closed looking somewhere else while she's crying for salvation. All this stuff being legalized is because the church, that's right, I'm talking about it. All this stuff being legalized is because the church refuses to open her mouth. The church refuses to be the, we're so busy talking about, well, God ain't God of this world, so I really don't care. God, he's concerned about the cares of this world. That's why Jesus came and died. He cares about what happens here. And the way for the world to change is for us to be concerned. People won't listen until they first know we care. The world will not listen until they know how much we care. And God is calling his body to wake up and care again. Wake up and care again. Wake up and care. The greatest deception in the world is that none of it matters. In warfare, if your enemy can get you to think that what he's doing doesn't matter, then he's already won the battle. If he can make you think that what he's doing ain't got nothing to do with you, he's already won. And that's what he's doing. He's coming into our cities. They're having these satanic festivals. They're having the Renaissance Festival, and ain't nobody saying nothing about it. We've got witches performing in broad daylight, and ain't nobody saying nothing. Our children are attending these festivals. Our sons and daughters are giving them their hard-earned money. I'm telling you, sing louder for Beyonce than we did the church. In fact, didn't go to church because we had to go see Beyonce. I want you to hear it in the spirit. All of this matters. It matters because whatever is celebrated is what is enthroned. And so if that type of stuff is celebrated, it becomes the principality over our cities. And when it sits over our cities, we wonder why our praise dancing ain't hitting no ceiling nowhere. Why our worship ain't hitting no ceiling nowhere. Why demons ain't coming out no more. Why people ain't being healed no more. It's because we got so many... Oh, Lord Jesus. We wonder why we don't see any change. But it's because we've allowed to sit on the throne. So we've allowed there to be a breach in our morals, in the way that we live our lives. That's where another breach has happened. There was a time where we believed the word of God and we lived like it, number one, as a consequence of loving God. We're not, works don't get us into heaven. They don't. We understand that we're justified by faith, right? We're justified. We're made in right standing with God by our faith. However, faith without works is dead. If your faith does not cause your life to live a certain way, then your faith may not be alive. If your faith does not call, oh Lord, if your faith don't make you delete their number, if your faith don't make you come out from among them, if your faith don't make you put down the cup, put down the drink, put down the sink, if your faith don't make you do nothing, your faith may not be alive. If the Holy Ghost ain't convicting you, maybe he ain't in you. If you can say whatever you want to, act like however you want to, treat folks like however you want to, then maybe you ain't got the Holy Ghost. Maybe your tongues ain't real if you can lie and speak with the same mouth. Maybe your tongues are learned and not given if you can still say what you used to say. If you can speak death instead of life, maybe life doesn't live inside of you. I'm trying to help us. This is why we can't raise the dead. This is why we can't heal the sick. This is why demons are coming in the church and taking the whole show. And we ain't doing nothing but sitting there saying, come out, come out, come out. And they just laughing at us. Peter, I know. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? Who are you? Who are you to tell me to go? Who are you to tell me to come out? You was just with me last night. You were just with me last night. Who are you to tell me that I can't have your son or have your daughter? You just cussed him out and put him out last night. Come on, Jesus, clean us up. Say, clean me, Lord. Say, clean me, Lord. Clean me, Jesus. I want to be clean. I want to be pure. I want to be holy. Is there anybody that want to be holy? Is there anybody that want to be saved? Is there anybody that want to be sanctified? Is there anybody that want to be Holy Ghost filled? Is there anybody that want to be fire baptized? If you are, clap your hands and say, yes, Lord. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. The next way the breach has happened is the way we interact with our God. People don't take our God serious because we don't take our God serious. Lord, help me. People don't take our God serious because we don't even pray like that in public. You know, we don't even stop before we eat our food and say grace no more. We just eat it up like, you know, I've been guilty of it too. I know. We be hungry. I know. But people don't respect our God because we can't even keep the fast. We don't even go to church consistently. We don't even read our Bibles consistently. We don't even do the things that Christians are supposed to do consistently. We don't even worship consistently. The praise and worship team got to prime us the entire time. You ain't got to make me worship my God. I know what he did for me. I know how he brought me out. I know how he saved my soul. I know when I was dying on my way to hell, Jesus lifted me. When I was bound with no freedom, Jesus came and set me free. You don't have to prime me to worship him. You don't have to prime me to praise him. I don't need the music to cut a step, because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank God. I thank God for saving me. I thank God for blessing me. I thank God for keeping me. I thank God for restoring me. If it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, I know I would have been in hell. I would have been somewhere backsliding. I would have been somewhere backbiting. But because the Lord kept me and he loved me enough, he gave his all for me. So you don't have to pry me. You don't have to pump me. You don't have to push me, because my soul is a witness. I said my soul is a witness. My soul is a witness. I got a witness in my belly. I got a witness in my feet. I've got a witness in my heart. I've got a witness in my mouth. You don't have to pry me. You don't have to push me. Oh, Jesus. I feel him. I feel him. I feel him. He's here. The next place where there's been a breach is the level of power that we live in. We live in little levels of power and low levels of power because we don't seek his face anymore. We live in little bits of power and no power at all because we don't go before God and stay there until he changes us, and stay there until he converts us, and stay there until he empowers us. I'm telling you, they used to tell us, get to the altar and stay there until he changes you. Stay there until he converts you. Stay there until you get power. Now we understand. We know that it don't always take tarrying. Some of us get it in an instant. Some of us get it in a second. But I wonder why the older saints had it deeper than we did. I wonder why they had it deep down in their belly. You could hit them real hard and you could say whatever you wanted to say to them and they wouldn't cuss, because it was something else inside of them. It was something else living in them. I wonder why. I wonder why. It's because they stayed into Jesus' face until he changed them, until he converted them, until he empowered them. So every now and then it does take some tarrying. Every now and then it may not just be tarrying for tongues, but I need the Holy Ghost. I need some on the inside that bleeds its way on the outside, that will change me, that will convert me, that will push me into another level of God's glory. Oh yeah, I feel that. I like that. I feel that. Oh, I feel the anointing here. Get a man delibekanda la bandi. See ya na man delibeta ya na man delibeta la batoya. Say ya na 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 man ti ya la bandi ya na. So ta man delibeta la bandi. See ya na 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 bato. Oh yeah, I feel it here. Kanta bate ya. Say ya na bekete. Oh yeah, I feel it here. Atanya lebe. I'll finish part two tomorrow, but there's something that just failed. Stay right there, but I want to say this. I don't know what, but something just failed when we start talking about that tarrying thing. What I was trying to get to, and I'll talk about the rest tomorrow, is this. If we're going to repair the breach, God must first repair us. If we're going to repair the breach, then God's got to get all the way in us. If we're going to repair the breach, we've got to come back to what we believe. Now, I know everybody in here is saved, and I know everybody in here is filled with the Holy Ghost, but can you intercede on behalf of the church tonight? Can you intercede on the behalf of the church at large tonight? Oh, yeah. Tonight we're going to enter into prayer. I told you it was coming. Tonight we're going to enter into prayer. And we're going to begin to tarry for the breach that is in the church and the breach that is into the house of God. Tonight we're going to go before the Lord on behalf of the entire body. And we're going to ask him to change us. We're going to ask him to convert us. Come on, open your mouth right there. Come on, open your mouth right there. Come on, open your mouth right there. Yeah, na mandeya, so ya na mandeya la baye, su na mandeya mandeya, so na mandeya la baye. Come on, if you got the Holy Ghost, begin to pray in it. Begin to pray in it. Begin to pray in it. You'll know that the fire's burning when you feel the wheel turning. Jaya la maye, so na 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 mande la maye. Tonight, God, we intercede on behalf of your body, and we say, God, fill us again, fill us again, fill us again, fill us again. We want to be saved. We want to be saved. We want to be saved. We want to be pure. We want to be holy. Jesus, 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 Jesus. We pray tonight that you would take the thorns from our eyes, that you would take all iniquity from our hearts. Tonight, Jesus, we pray that you would fill us with your anointing. Tonight, we pray that you would fill us with your spirit. Tonight, we pray that you would change us, that you would convert us, that you would rearrange us. Tonight, we pray, Lord, 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 change your church, change your church. Be the God of your church again. Be the God of your church again. Be the God that hovers above the waters again. Be the God that hovered over your body again. The same God that came down in the upper room and
and filled the disciples with tongues of fire. Tonight we pray that you would descend upon your church and you would fill us with tongues of fire, with tongues of your spirit, with tongues of the anointing. Tonight we pray, oh God, 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 we need you, we need you, we need you, we need you. The church in America needs you. The church in Metro Savannah needs you. The church in Crescent needs you. The church in Chatham County needs you. The church in McIntosh County needs you. We need you, God. We need you, we need you. We need you, we need you. Oh, I feel the fire of the Lord. I feel him burning tonight. Burn up this flesh. Burn it up, Jesus. We're tied to the horns of the altar. We're tied to the horns of the altar. We're tied to the horns of the altar. Tonight, Jesus. Tonight, Jesus. Tonight, Jesus. Tonight, Jesus. Tonight, Jesus. Come see about us. 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 Oh, Jesus. You're all we need. Oh, Jesus. You're all we want. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Let the church cry, 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 Jesus. Let the church cry. 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 Cry, cry. Cry from your belly. Cry from your belly. Oh, cry from your belly. Cry from your belly tonight, church. Come on, cry from your belly tonight. The Lord is here. He's changing us. He's rearranging us. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Come on, church. Cry for your family. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Come on, cry. Come on, cry. Come on, cry. We're there now. We're there. Cry. Cry, cry, cry. Cry, cry, cry. Cry, cry, cry. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Reach out and touch him. He's here tonight. 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 Oh, Jesus. 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 We need you tonight. We need you tonight. We need you tonight. Our souls are hungry. Our souls are hungry. Our souls are desperate. We're crying for more of you. We're crying for what can I? We're crying for a touch from you. We gotta have it. We gotta have it. We've gotta have it. We gotta have it. We gotta have it. We cry for the move. We cry for the move that you desire to release. We cry for the move tonight. Come on, church. There's something over our heads. There's a cloud of glory over our heads. I want you to push like you've never pushed before. What if this was the moment that changed everything? What if this was the moment that you've been crying for? What if this is the moment that you've been praying for? Come on, push. Come on, push. Come on, push. Come on, push. Come on. Oh, there it is. Push. There it is. 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 Push, church. Push. Travail. tonight. Yeah, there's a cry in the house tonight. There's a cry in the house tonight. Lord, do what only you can. Lord, move like only you can. We need you tonight. Fill us again. Give us your standard again. Give us holiness again. Give us purity again. Give us right standing again. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We pray tonight. We pray tonight that the breach would be closed. The breach in our hearts. The breach in our minds. The breach in our spirits. The breach in our souls. Close it with your blood. Close it with your blood. Close it with your blood. Close it tonight with your blood. The blood of Jesus. 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 The blood. The blood. The blood. The blood of Jesus. 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 Because only the blood is worthy. Only the blood is able. Only the blood. Only the blood. Take your blood and pour it on us. Take your blood and pour it on us. Take your blood, Jesus, and pour it on us. Pour it on us from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet, so that we can be changed, so that we can be changed, so that we can be changed. It's only by your blood. It's only by your blood. It's only by your blood. Your blood. Your blood. Your blood. The blood. The blood. The blood. The blood. The blood of Jesus. Only the blood. 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 The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Come on, church. God's not finished yet. God's not finished yet. I know your body may be tired, but right past your tiredness, there's breakthrough. Right past your tiredness, there's breakthrough. Right past your tiredness, there's deliverance. Right past your tiredness, there's healing. Right past your tiredness, come on, cry, 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 church, cry, cry, church, cry. Cry, church, cry. Cry, church, cry. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Come on, church. The Lord wants to put prayer back in us. Oh, Jesus. He wants to give us power to last long in his presence. He wants to give us power to last long in his spirit. Way past our past spiritual experiences. He wants to give us a new one. He wants to give us a new one. He wants to give us a new experience. He wants to give us a new shout. He wants to give us a new cry. He wants to give us a new dance. He wants to give us a new, ah, yeah. He wants to give us a new well. Yeah. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, church, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, he's refilling somebody tonight. He's giving somebody a refreshing. Come on, he's moving. 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 Stretch out if you have to. Lie down if you have to. Get on your knees if you have to. Whatever you got to do. Jump in this move. 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 Yes. 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 Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, 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 Lord, yes, Lord. You've got the people crying out, yes, yes, Lord. Take full control, yes, Lord. Use me, yes, Lord. Take me, yes, Lord. I am yours, I am yours, I am yours, my heart, my soul, my life, it's all yours, it's all yours, all yours, it's all yours, it's all yours, it's all yours, yes, Lord, 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 yes, yes, Lord. Come on, release a sound that will rise people from the dead. Release